This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half.
Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast about the science and art of becoming happier. This week, we'll talk about how you might save someone's life and hear from listeners about a range of subjects ranging from a student's persistent tardiness to packing cubes to traditions to celebrate friendship. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, human nature, and the five senses. I'm in New York City, and joining me today from Los Angeles is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft. And Elizabeth, you're headed back to KC soon. I am so envious.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And yes, Gretch, I'll be home for Thanksgiving. I can't wait.
Yes. But before we jump in, a few updates.
Yes. Okay. Please keep sending your gift ideas. We're doing our holiday gift guide soon, and we want your ideas.
Yes. Also, we're starting to come toward the end of the year. And if you're thinking about new year, new you, and starting the new year, one thing I've noticed over the last decade is that a lot of people like to read my book, The Happiness Project, in January. It starts in January. It never occurred to me that people would actually want to read it starting in January, but one of the things you learn as an author is how people read your book. So you might be interested in that. And if you would like to get a personalized signed book plate for your book, or if you want to give it as a gift to someone and you are in the United States or Canada, I will send you book plates, as many as you want, within reason. I will put a link to that in the show notes, or you can get it on my site, GretchenRubin.com, under resources. And I love to do that. So feel free to ask away. And it can be for any book. It's not just for The Happiness Project. It's just that a lot of people seem to read The Happiness Project in January.
And then, Gretchen, we talked about crackers the other day, about the tradition of pulling apart these little packages that make a pop and have gifts inside called crackers.
Yeah.
And we heard from so many people about crackers. And this was interesting. Laura from the UK said, the only bit about the cracker segment that was a little sad was hearing that crackers are also now becoming a year-round thing in the US. That to me is almost sacrilegious. Like hearing somewhere sells carving pumpkins in April or Easter eggs for Thanksgiving. They're a very particular part of a British Christmas, hokey as they definitely can be. And I think when something can be had at any time, it loses its special charm for that particular season. Well, that's interesting, Gretch. Since they're not as meaningful to us, we don't feel that way.
Yes, and we don't have them strongly associated with Christmas the way they clearly do in their origin. So I thought that was really interesting, and I really take her point that sometimes we enjoy things more when we enjoy them less. It's sort of one of the paradoxes of the five senses. And I realized that part of the reasons that crackers are so fun is they are such a five senses gift, because you can smell, there's a little bit of that gunpowdery smell, or I don't know what that is, when they pop and they make the pop, and there's the crinkle of the paper crowns, and there's just the fun of the way they look. There's often that candy in them, which you would think these things like they would so often have candy. So there's no taste. But I bet you can buy crackers that have all five senses. So I was like, oh, that's why these are so fun. They're a five senses or four senses at least treat. Yeah.
Gretch, this would be a great item for your shop.
Yes, I was thinking about that. Yes. My sensorium emporium. Yes.
Yes.
So the try this at home suggestion this week is to save someone's life.
Okay, Gretch, this is interesting. How did you come to this? Because it's a big topic.
It's a big topic, and this is how I started to think about it. So I was at a birthday party for a friend, and we were all sort of buffet style. We were all sitting in little clusters, and I was talking to three other people, and somehow we started talking about the question of, had anybody ever saved anyone's life? Now, in my mind, saving someone's life was an extraordinarily rare, dramatic thing that, like, did I know anybody in my whole circle of acquaintances other than a doctor who had saved someone's life? I would have thought no. It turned out that all three of these people had saved someone's life. One person had saved her son from choking in a restaurant. One had saved a child from drowning in a pool. And one guy had done both. He had saved a stranger in like a company cafeteria from choking, and he had saved a man from being swept out to sea. Wow. So this got me thinking, like, well, maybe this is much more common. But here's the other thing that was really surprising before we share our responses from listeners, is that I would have thought that this would have been like an exciting, ecstatic memory, and they would have been really thrilled to talk about it, and it would have been really joyful. And in fact, it was not that way at all. They were all three of them kind of haunted. It was very serious, very grave. The memories were very full of emotion. And I thought, well, this is strange. This is surprising to me because I would think this would be so happy. And what I think it is that there's like this sliding doors quality where you're at a moment where you see so clearly, like in a moment, things could have gone completely differently. And you also realize, I managed to step up, but you know yourself, and you're like, well, maybe I wouldn't have stepped up. Maybe I couldn't have stepped up. Maybe it wouldn't have worked. Like, I'd never done the Heimlich maneuver. Maybe I wouldn't have been able to do it properly. And so instead of having it be like a really joyful memory, it's a memory that is full of this fear of like, oh, what almost happened? So I thought this was fascinating. So I started asking around, like on social media, had you ever saved someone's life? It turns out this is far more common, and people answered it in far more wide-ranging ways than I had expected. It's fascinating.
Well, let's listen to some examples. Sarah said, my uncle saved my life at least twice by taking the car keys from an intoxicated person who was hell-bent on driving me and driving me himself instead. Mm. The intoxicated person refused to let me drive but agreed to let my uncle drive. My orthopedic surgeon saved my ability to walk when a tumor on my spine almost paralyzed me.
Wow, that's a lot. Anne said, my husband saved mine by helping me through cancer treatment. He never missed a beat, and I will be eternally grateful.
Probably a lot of people have stories like that.
Yeah.
Susan said, I have. I saved a little boy about 3 or 4 years old who was choking on a piece of candy. His mother was hysterical, of course. He was in the back seat of her car in his car seat. She stopped in the middle of the driveway of a shopping center. She got him out of his car seat. I stopped my car in the middle of the driveway too, got out of my car and performed the Heimlich maneuver. As soon as I saw he was okay and breathing, I got back in my car and drove away.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Jill said, I yelled freeze at a stranger's toddler running into the road. I was too far away to grab him, and his parent was distracted. He froze, and a car whizzed right by that I'm almost certain would have killed him if he had kept going. I just learned the technique of substituting freeze for stop or no in a danger situation, as young kids often filter that out and ignore the more common words if they're told them too often. It worked, thank goodness. I was traumatized, though. So this is interesting. Like, this is sort of a drive-by hack, which is, say, freeze.
Yes.
I had not heard that. And it's interesting, like, also for her, it's a difficult memory. It's interesting.
Amy said, this is a stretch, but a couple that seemed like they were on a first date were at the next table at a restaurant. She clearly couldn't breathe. The guy started hitting her on the back. I got up and encouraged him to get behind her and do the Heimlich maneuver. It worked. I heard her say it was lettuce. It was awkward, and we all sat down like nothing happened.
Bad first date. Jenny wrote, haunted is a good word to describe the feeling. I still think about it 15 years later. I was an undergrad waiting to cross the street, and some guy was talking on his phone, standing in the street, not on the sidewalk. I saw a bus coming up the road and pulled him by his backpack onto the sidewalk. At first, he was confused as to why I touched him, but then saw the bus and said to the phone, dude, some girl just saved my life.
Wow. That phone thing is a real problem.
It's a real problem.
Patty said, my life was saved 20 years ago by a living kidney donor. I have found living kidney donors to be very humble about their amazing and generous act.
Dave pointed out, I've donated a lot of blood. I'm sure that blood has helped save a life. Absolutely. Brian pointed out, you don't have to rescue someone from drowning. You can donate a pint of blood, check off being an organ donor on your driver's license, or sign up to donate a kidney or bone marrow. So we think of these heroic measures, but you can sign up to be an organ donor and you don't have to do anything. I mean, you just sign up on the website, sign a card, tell people around you, hey, if it ever comes up, I would like to be an organ donor. And I think it's maybe you can save 7 lives and benefit 11 lives, or I don't have the numbers right, but you can make a huge difference. And of course, because of Jamie's hepatitis C, now miraculously cured, I'm a huge proponent of organ donation, but it's absolutely true. Kidney donation is so important. Blood donation is so vital. And also, Elizabeth, one of the things that struck me is that I think that a lot of times you might hesitate for fear that you would do it wrong. Like, I can imagine if I was in a restaurant and someone was choking, I would think, I don't want to get up out of my seat because I've never done the Heimlich maneuver. And if I intervene, maybe I'll stop somebody who's more qualified from stepping in. But it sounds like a lot of times people just instinctively do something, and maybe that's better.
And these stories, it doesn't sound like these people were experts on the Heimlich maneuver.
No.
It sounds like they just did what we all know to do, but we probably have never done.
Right.
So yeah, I think it definitely encourages me to step in a situation where I agree with you, I absolutely would not have. I would have been like, I'll do more harm than good.
Right.
There must be someone more qualified. Yes. But if there's not a doctor nearby, something is better than nothing.
Right.
Often.
Right. No, because I think I would have thought exactly what you're saying. Like, I could do more harm than good, but there may not be time. Like, you have to just try your best. So I found this to be endlessly fascinating to think about all these different circumstances. So let us know if you do try this at home, if you've saved a life, or if you're planning to save a life by doing something, by signing up to be an organ donor or bone marrow donor, blood donor, or other things that you might do. Let us know on Twitter, Facebook, drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. Or as always, you can go to the show notes. This is happiercast.com/403 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, we've got some packing cube hacks, but first this break. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. We all know that our life and our health can be improved when we eat nourishing, healthy meals, but it can be hard to maintain. With Sunbasket Meal Kits, it's easy because they take care of the details. Sunbasket offers 18 chef-crafted, dietitian-approved recipes each week with options like Mediterranean, carb-conscious, vegetarian, and keto-friendly. The recipes are quick and easy to follow, and you can enjoy a meal full of organic produce and clean ingredients that's ready in 30 minutes or less.
Try mouthwatering Sunbasket dishes like salmon burgers with lemon dill mayo and seared squash, or steaks with chimichurri and harissa roasted sweet potatoes. My son Jack loves salmon, and he loves the Sunbasket salmon burgers. Go to sunbasket.com/happier today to get $45 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/happier to get $45 off your first box plus free shipping.
Okay, Alyssa, for happiness hack, we got so many hacks related to packing cubes. In a recent episode of More Happier, you and I were talking about how your writing partner, Sarah Fain, is such a fan of packing cubes. She like got you to get some packing cubes because she was just so enthusiastic about them. Well, you and I have not explored the wide world of packing cubes. We have never done it. You bought some. I don't think you've used them yet. But people are very keen on packing cubes in ways that I did not even think of.
Yes. Kara said, my best friend and I are both single with no kids. We often travel together. We started using packing cubes a long time ago. We swear by the ones like these from TravelWise for one very specific reason. They come in multiple bright colors. This is important for two reasons. A, black packing cubes in a black bag are hard to see and find. And more importantly, B, having multiple colors, one for each member of your traveling party, means that no matter where you are in your suitcase or accommodations, you can see whose stuff is where. Also, I wanted to add something that my best friend started doing that I think is genius and have now started doing. She started doing this with Post-it notes, and then I made her, as a crafty one between us, a set of cards made out of cardstock and laminated with the days of the week on one side and day numbers 1 through 10 on the other side, as most trips for us are no more than 10 days. On the three extra cards, I wrote extra day 1, extra day 2, etc. She then lays these out and picks out outfits for each day. I have watched this transform the way she travels.
So this is smart. I like the idea that you could open up a suitcase and everybody could just like pull out their own stuff so that you're not pawing through a bunch of things. And then having it labeled, especially if you're a place where you're not just like grabbing a t-shirt and shorts or something, but you really have specific outfits. And it's like, I don't want to wear this shirt on the wrong day because it's carefully coordinated with a pair of pants or whatever. Just takes out the decision fatigue of having to keep that all in your mind. I thought that was a great idea.
Yes. And then Susan said, we have two colors. Our clean clothes go in one and the dirty go in the other. It makes coming home and unpacking easier. I mean, another great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, many people did suggest that each family member's clothes would go in a different color cube, so you could do that. So that's a good idea. And then Bridget had an idea for people who are really don't want to buy more stuff. And this is a great repurposing of something that kind of has haunted me, is like, this thing seems so useful, but what would I use it for? She said, I wanted to share with you and listeners a way to get free travel cubes with something that you might already have in your home. You know that packaging that pillowcases, bedsheets, and even small comforters come in? They are very similar in size to the travel cubes that are sold in the stores. And as a bonus, most of the time they are completely clear, allowing you to see all the contents easily. I discovered this a few months ago when I was looking for a way to organize my children's clothing for traveling. They are still very young, so have lots of tiny clothing that can easily get mixed up or misplaced. I was able to find two sheet set bags that fit all their clothing easily. Each has their own bag and has made the trip so much nicer. I know these exactly. They have a clear window on the front and they zip and they're often and they're cube shaped. But here's my idea, Elizabeth. Okay. You know when you get like a fancy pair of shoes and it comes with like a nice shoe bag and you're like, I mean, I guess some people keep their shoes in shoe bags. That's like way next level for me. I never do that. But they're really nice bags. And I mean, you wouldn't want to put something that would get wrinkled. But if you had just like a bunch of socks that you were like clean socks in one bag and dirty socks in another bag or whatever, you can use the
socks,
shoe bags.
Socks, underwear, bathing suits, that kind of thing. Yes.
Right, right. So thank you, everyone.
Yes, I love this whole packing cube revolution.
Who knew?
I know.
You and I were oblivious, but people have been tracking it. And now we're going to do a deep dive into some responses that we've gotten. This is an episode that has lots from listeners. We've gotten a lot of responses from listeners. So this is kind of a grab bag of a bunch of different emails that we've received according to like different things that have come up over the last few episodes. So the first one was from Lizzie, who was responding to the 400th episode when we were asking people what has resonated most deeply with you of the previous 400 episodes.
Yes, she said, I was just listening to your 400th episode. I was very struck by your thoughts on what you enjoyed doing as a 10-year-old should influence your adult work and hobbies. I've always been an animal lover and since childhood strived toward being a veterinarian. I worked hard, achieved my dream, but the reality didn't quite match the expectation. Working as a vet in clinical practice was okay, but not the vocation I dreamed of. The trouble was I didn't know what else to do, and I didn't hate the job enough to do anything about it. I was drifting. Fast forward to COVID and a very quiet lockdown pregnancy and maternity leave. I discovered the Happier podcast and listened to multiple episodes daily. Thank you. I began idly thinking, what did I enjoy as a 10-year-old? Well, animals, but I remembered that I also loved to write. I used to write out care guides for my multiple pets and long diary entries about my imagined veterinary adventures. Writing, could it be a possibility? Well, 2 years on, and I'm no longer a vet working in practice. I'm now a veterinary copywriter, writing articles for both pet owners and fellow veterinarians about all aspects of pet care, veterinary medicine, and more. And I absolutely love it. I'm still getting around to starting a happiness project. The third best time is tomorrow, right? But I don't think I'll need a work section. You've already sorted that one out for me. That's fantastic.
So, I love this because, again, it's not something you would necessarily think of without some self-reflection. And I think if as a 10-year-old, you're writing care guides for your multiple pets. I mean, that is, it is funny when you look back on it. You're like, oh, it's so obviously connected. But you might not realize that. So that I thought that was a wonderful story.
Yes.
And Stacy wrote about our episode 401, where we talked about ideas for time capsules. She wrote, I went to a small all-girls high school that had a ton of really fun traditions. One of my favorites, during our senior year, we all wrote letters to ourselves and they were buried under our class rock in the senior garden. At our 10-year reunion, we all got our letters back. On the heels of that fun experience, receiving my senior letter, I decided to host a time capsule dinner for about 15 girlfriends. It was the year we were all turning 30. I hosted a dinner and instructed everyone to write a letter to themselves, and I paired everyone with one other person to write a letter to. We also brought magazine clippings, photos, etc. 10 years later, the year we all turned 40, we rented a house in San Francisco and had a time capsule weekend where we had a ton of fun and, of course, opened our time capsules. Last year, we did our 50th in Aspen, opening yet another time capsule. Hmm. I also created time capsules for all three of my children. I collected letters, photos, first outfits, baby shoes, etc. from the first year of life, then sealed it up. The night before my son left for college last year, we had a small family dinner with the grandparents, etc., and he opened his time capsule. It was super fun for him to read all the letters he received when he was born and a meaningful tradition for our family on the eve of college send-off. Anyway, I thought I would share as time capsules have been an easy and fun way to create tradition and preserve memories in different areas of my life. I thought this was so great.
Yes, I love it. And I love the every 10 years. That's so much fun.
It's so much fun. And again, if you're interested in that storage box or the memento box, if you want to do time capsules with things that are flat, I'll post a link. You can just go to the Happiness Project shop or go to my website and look for the shop. Yeah. But then we heard another listener had a different perspective on time capsules.
Yes, Rebecca said, in the spirit of the opposite of a profound truth is also true, I feel like the opposite of keeping a time capsule can also be true. As a mom of four, I am overwhelmed by toys and knickknacks. I prefer to use things like Christmas cards as the decoration banner for the current year, but then say goodbye. An alternative to the box capsule is a digital picture album. I even have pictures of the scene or awards, etc. Then I set my Google portal to display pictures from on this day.
Well, I love the idea that the opposite of a profound truth is also true, and that you may not want the stuff. It is a box that you keep on the shelf, or it's a book that you have on your bookshelf. And some people are just like, no.
Well, and with four kids, it adds up to a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Right. Right. Then we got some very interesting responses to the person who was asking about the child who was persistently late to school. A child that she thinks is a rebel. And so we were talking about different ideas about how you might handle that situation.
Yeah, Annette said, when the comment was made of what does it matter if the student is a couple of minutes late, as a middle school teacher, I will say it does matter. Most classes start with bell ringers, starters, agendas, passing slash collecting papers, etc., setting the tone for the period and other important instructions. Not to mention 1 to 2 minutes leads to 5 to 10, etc. Nothing is more annoying for us as teachers to have to repeat directions and so forth for latecomers, and some students' entrance is disruptive to the rest of the class, especially if it's a challenging student. Lastly, reward the kids who were there on time, preferably with a high priority reward for the late student, something he wouldn't want to miss. Just my two cents after 34 years in middle school. Well, she brings up many good points.
She brings up many good points. But on this idea of what is there for the children who are on time, which she alludes to at the end, Claire picked up on that idea. She said, "I'm a rebel too and have done some teaching in my time. My first reaction was like yours. If the student is 1 to 2 minutes late, then I let it slide. It seems a little needlessly strict to chastise them for that. I can also see, though, that the student may get some kind of mischievous glee in consistently being just a tiny bit late, ha ha ha. Having said that, if the teacher really wants to crack down, especially if we're talking more than 10 minutes late, here's an idea. The teachers could put all the class students' names in a hat or a digital randomizer and hold a student prize draw at precisely the minute the class starts. The catch is, if your name is drawn, you need to be present to claim your prize. I don't mean tangible prizes or, God forbid, cash, but a privileged benefit first choice of some sort, something they can use for that class on that day. The privilege could stay the same or change, be announced the day before, or even be announced the same time the winner is drawn. This appeals to my rebel tendency, as I could still choose to show up late and take the risk of missing the win. But how annoying it would be to win it and not be present to claim it. Rebels love choice and risk, and this combines both nicely." So I thought this was really interesting. This is like a rebel's take on how you might set something up. There's the gamifying, which often appeals to rebels. It's the choice. I could choose to be late, but I choose to be on time because I want my chance, and I don't want to be annoyed by the chance that I might not get something that I'm otherwise could claim. So I thought that was very imaginative.
Yes, really good. Lana says, "I too was always intentionally a little late to all my classes, and it was unexpectedly because of social anxiety. While being late also always made me nervous, it was easier to deal with than having to chat with so many people in the hallways while waiting for the class to start. High school relationships can be turbulent and hard to navigate for teenagers. Could it be that that's what's making him late? In any case, for me, it stopped on its own in a few years."
Well, yes, and a related point comes from Jennifer, who said, "This might be a long shot because this school administration sounds like they're really on top of things, but could it be possible that he has a bully? He might be getting there a few minutes late in order to avoid interactions with someone. Might be worth looking into." So these two listeners have a very different take on what might be going on. Yeah. But that was a very interesting insight, which is, you know, one thing you think about the person who's gleefully late, sort of breaking the rule, right, but then maybe there's somebody who's avoiding a very painful situation. Obviously, you would approach those situations very differently.
Yes. Well, it's interesting, Gretchen, the solutions and then also the reasons one might be late. It's interesting to explore. So hope this helps.
Yeah. And it's interesting to hear so many different people's perspectives on it. Like, clearly we bring our own experience and assumptions to something like this. So yeah, there's a whole range of things to think about. Interesting question.
Yeah. Coming up, I've got a corgi-related gold star, but first this break.
Cruise in style in a Toyota Camry. With available all-wheel drive and multiple driving modes, you can accomplish anything. Experience cutting-edge available tech like a multimedia touchscreen and wireless connectivity, complemented by the reliability of Toyota Safety Sense. It's no wonder the Camry has been the best-selling car in America for over 2 decades.
Or check out a new Corolla and define your style with a model for everyone, from the sleek and affordable sedan to the super efficient hybrid and the hip and agile hatchback. There's a Corolla made just for you. Toyota has even introduced their spacious Corolla Cross as a hybrid for when your adventure calls for both maximum capacity and efficiency.
And right now, your local Toyota dealer has vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day.
So don't wait. Buy a new Camry, Corolla, or Corolla Cross today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals, details, and more. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, Liz, it's important to me to be a treasure house of happy memories, but sometimes it's hard to frame something that you want to keep. Like, I have had pieces of children's art that I really wanted to frame, but it's kind of unconventionally sized and it's hard to do. But Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. You can easily order online at framebridge.com, or you can visit one of their 20-plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your pieces in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free.
Gretchen, I realized I didn't have a recent framed photo of you and me and mom and dad, and I really wanted one. So when we were in Kansas City and took a great picture, I uploaded it, sent it to Framebridge, and now I have a beautiful framed photo of us. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. Okay, Gretchen, it is time for demerits and gold stars, and you are up this week with a happiness demerit.
Okay, so maybe other people have experienced this, but sometimes, like, when you feel like there's a lot on your mind, you start to lose things. Like, I'm usually very, very careful. Like, I always do that thing where I look behind me when I get up from a seat, and I'm really, like, very conscious of not spreading out things that then need to be consolidated again or whatever. But recently, I was kind of like old times. I went to Philadelphia one day, I went to New Haven one day, and in both places, I left something behind. I got both things back and was fine, but it was unnecessary hassle. It was unnecessary distraction. I don't like losing things. It makes me feel like I'm losing parts of myself. It makes me disproportionately uneasy. And then kind of related to this, you know, every year I love a holiday breakfast, and every year I do a holiday breakfast for Halloween. And I was just talking about it. I dyed the milk orange. Yes. I put out my placemat. I dyed the peanut butter black, all this. So I was traveling on Halloween, but I was home Halloween morning, and I could have laid it all out and then had Eleanor have it when she got up. I got up too early before she was awake, but I could have set everything up. And I forgot that. And so I feel like I'm just forgetting things, losing things. And so I keep reminding me, you know, go slow to go fast. You know, like, I was speaking, so I took off my Apple Watch because you know how it will sometimes vibrate. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want it to vibrate in the middle and distract me. So I'll just take it off. Then it just vanished on this little cubby where my stuff was. I'm like, okay, slow down. Mm-hmm. Take time to put everything in a bag. Don't just put something down, put it away. I mean, I've got 1,000 aphorisms for this.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that by giving myself the demerit, I really will put my attention on it, and so that I will stop dropping all these little bits behind me.
Yeah, especially with losing things, just put it down where you know you have to get it.
Yeah, like, why would I put that down next to my bag instead of inside
right.
my bag?
And
the reason is because it goes inside my bag, and then it's kind of hard to find it because it's in all the pockets and everything. I'm like, pick a pocket, always put it in the same pocket so it's easy to find. Don't just randomly set it on the counter.
Yes.
I mean, okay.
Of course, Gretchen, I'm remembering when we forgot your suitcase in Santa Barbara.
Oh, my gosh.
When we went to the brunch at Oprah's house, and we were so, like, overwhelmed. Then we pulled up to my house, and you said, where's my bag? And we had driven all the way home.
Oh my gosh, a couple of hours, we were exhausted. I was like leaving the next morning, and it was at that moment I realized I never put a bag in the trunk.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, and you thought we were gonna have to drive back up there, get it, and drive back. And I was like, no, we're gonna have to figure something out. No, that was memorable. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, don't do it. Don't leave something behind. Yes. Develop those systems.
Yes, a system. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, maybe that's it. Like, a stumble may prevent a fall. I left my Apple Watch, and now I won't leave my suitcase. A friend of mine left her garment bag on an airplane, just deplaned. Never thought of it for like 8 hours, and then was like, oh, where is it? And somebody had taken it. She never got
it. I've left bags on airplanes. Yeah.
Yeah. Count. Always count how many bags you have with you. Okay, listen, what's your gold star?
Okay, so Gretchen, I am giving a gold star to Corgi Nation. Okay. Corgi Spirit, Corgi Nation.
I have to interrupt you, Elizabeth, because somebody emailed me and said, oh, Elizabeth says she's not going to talk about her dogs anymore, but I so enjoy hearing her talk about her dogs. And I wrote back, I was like, Don't worry about it, because I think Elizabeth is going to talk about her dog. So, yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned about that. Yes. So, yeah,
here I am. And here I am talking about my dog. So, you know, we have two corgis, Nacho and Daisy. And last weekend, we went for the first time to the Southern California Corgi Beach Day, which is at Huntington Beach. And it's a day for everyone to bring their corgis. We went, and I mean, there's hundreds of corgis there, and they sell corgi merchandise and, and pet merchandise, and there's food trucks, and, you know, it's a whole thing. And I will say it was extremely crowded, and I won't say it was like pure bliss simply because it was so crowded, but it was really fun to just see other people who love their corgis and just smile at them and wave.
Yeah.
And Nacho and Daisy were great. They didn't bark. They were just wagging their tails at all the people and the corgis. And Gretchen, you know I love some merch.
Oh, so yeah. I got, love you, the merch.
Yes. I got a Corgi Beach Day shirt and we got a Corgi Nation flag. So I just want to give a gold star to, you know, this corgi spirit, the love has brought so much to our lives, like as a family, it's brought so much to us. So big gold star to Corgi Nation.
It reminds me of that More Happier where you were saying that your love of the Real Housewives helped you form a friendship. And it's all about the shared enthusiasm can help you draw closer to other people. And this is a great example where these were people that you don't even know, but still you're all having this fun adventure together.
Yes.
Because of the shared enthusiasm. It's so fun.
Yes. So anyway, good times.
Okay. Then I want to see that t-shirt soon. The resources for this week. We now have transcripts. I'm so happy. This has been a long time coming. It's kind of a multi-layer process to get it going and get them right. But they will be published. They'll be published the week following the episode because of just the time needed to process them. If you go to GretchenRubin.com/podcast, you will see them there now for episode 401 if you want to see it. And then it will always be there within a week of the episode going live. We're very excited about this. And then November holidays are, you know, now is time to start crossing things off your list. Eliza and Eleanor have been telling me they've been putting things on their list and crossing things off. So that's good. If you want to get some of your holiday shopping done early with up to 20% off some purchases, go to the Happiness Project shop through November 30th, and you get 20% off orders that are $100 or more with the code HAPPIERNOVEMBER20. Returning customers get 15% off all orders with code HOLIDAYVIP15. And this excludes books and gift cards, but it covers everything else on the site. So it's journals, water bottles, pouches, all sorts of things there. So check it out.
Nice.
What are we reading?
Gretch, I am listening to Matthew Perry's book, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing.
And I am reading The Mountain in the Sea by Ray Naylor. And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Save someone's life. Let us know if you've done it or if you've planned to do it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and everyone at Cadence 13. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Instagram at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Liz Craft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
And if you like this show, please be sure to tell a friend. Send them the link to this episode. Tell them to listen to the podcast. That is how people discover our show.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Craft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward. Well, Elizabeth, given that Daisy and Nacho bark, which I know because I hear them barking when I'm talking to you on the phone or when we're recording, I'm just surprised that it wasn't just some cacophony of corgi barking.
I know. I think maybe corgis bark a lot at home, like a territorial thing, and they don't bark out in public as much.
Oh.
But there was no barking. I asked Adam after you and I were talking about it. I said, was there any barking? And we couldn't remember any of the dogs barking out of hundreds.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
That is so
interesting. Thank goodness. I mean, that would have been rough. That would have been loud.
From the Onward Project.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.